Jesus offers practical advice to his disciples on how individuals and the church as a whole should show wrongdoers their need for repentance. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go point out their fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our mediator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I begin this morning with a question. Who has been wronged by another recently? I see a couple of hands that are kind of shy. How about who has been wronged by somebody that is in this church? Now I see some fingers pointing. Maybe you're currently conflicted by something related to the church. This could be another person that we commune with, or this could be an issue or a topic that just isn't settling quite right with you. Lucky for you, our gospel lesson, Jesus tells us as Christians how we are to live in community, particularly when we come into these times of conflict. But first, before we move into that, I want to share something a little fun with you, what Jesus did not say in Matthew 18. And I didn't come up with these for the record. So these things Jesus did not say. If another member of the church sins against you, withdraw quietly yet in disgust. Go home in a huff and stew about it for months. If another member of the church sins against you, silently hold it against the ministries they love and decline to support any of them for a year or two. If another member of the church sins against you, grumble about it to your friends. Better yet, grumble to the pastor, but don't mention the name of the offending person. Or yet, even better, grumble to your various bridge groups or online communities. If another member of the church sins against you, bottle up your feelings until they come spilling out sideways on a future occasion, preferably at a congregational meeting or Easter morning. And finally, if another member of the church sins against you, cut your participation in half, quit tithing, and after a while, leave the congregation permanently without telling a soul. Then, either look for a new church or just stop going altogether. The things Jesus didn't tell us to do when dealing with conflict. They're funny, but yet we know that there is truth in these sayings. And they happen a lot more than we would like to admit. And if I'm honest with myself and with you all today, I too have committed a few of these in my day. So what did Jesus actually say? What are we to do with conflict? Jesus, in our gospel lesson this morning, lays out a series of steps to reach out to someone whom you're in conflict with because they've sinned against you in some fashion. Now, I'm just going to touch a little bit on sin today. We'll delve more into it next week when we talk about the passage after this, which is really one in sin and forgiveness. But here, this word for sin in the Greek simply means to err or to make a mistake. It's not, sin isn't this negative, this judgmental, divisive machine that we've made it into today. And the reality is that we all sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. These things happen. And this truth doesn't make us bad people, and it doesn't make us a hopeless people. It just names the reality that we miss the mark from time to time. Now, in this passage, it's really easy to put that emphasis on sin. But I think sin is only a small piece of the equation. It's not the main focus of Jesus' teaching. In this section of Matthew, the author has had throughout the text these discourses, these teachings of Jesus. And then our passage today, we find ourselves right in the middle of Jesus' fourth discourse with his disciples. This fourth discourse is revolved around what it looks like to live in a community together, especially as a community of faith. Because Jesus knows, and you and I, honestly, we know as well, that conflict occurs and people get hurt. This happens both intentionally and unintentionally. So Jesus lays out a series of steps to be able to bring the two parties back together. It's about regaining mutual trust where error has created division. It's about a process on how to correct a wrong and rebuild and repair what was broken as a result of sin. There is a solution for dealing with sin. It's sharing and listening. Now, the church origins were based on a strong community. The original church was a place where people came together to love one another. The church was there for people to come together to encourage one another. The church was a place for people to come together to care for one another. The emphasis was on coming together. And there is such a beautiful irony, I think, in this passage. So let's say we've gone through this whole process. We've approached the person, they didn't listen. We've taken a witness, they didn't listen. We've taken the church with us, and they didn't listen. The text tells us to let them be as a Gentile and tax collector. Did you catch that? A Gentile and tax collector. Now, we know these are derogatory terms of Jesus' day. These are not good identifiers. People who were tax collectors and Gentiles, they were not in the crowd you wanted to hang out with. But think for just a minute, what was Jesus' relationship with these folks? What was Jesus' relationship with these folks? These were the very people Jesus hung out with. Just a few chapters ago, the author of Matthew shared with us Jesus being ridiculed for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus at this point is in the land of Gentiles, and has for the most part been amongst the Gentiles the entire time of his ministry. He's been with them teaching, he's been with them healing, he's been hanging out with these people that the text tells us to let them be as tax collectors and Gentiles. So normally we see this as an outcasting, our church's way of excommunicating people because they're wrong or different. But it's not about that at all. The text is about loving people no matter what. About being in community with everyone, even if there is a grievance or disagreement. Brothers and sisters, this is the communal life Christ invites us into as believers. The church is called to be a different kind of community, a bedrock within our society, a place where relationships develop, where grievances are aired, and where relationships are repaired. And I don't know how you feel about it, but wouldn't you agree with me that we need a little bit of that in our world today? Our society is so polarized on taking these stances against each other, demonizing the other person just because they think differently, they act differently, or they look differently than who we are. The church is a place for a new kind of community, Christ's community, one that draws people together at all odds. And I believe this truly needs to be a two-way street. The church, as we know, is not perfect. We have our own little quarrels amongst ourselves when it comes to making decisions, when we interact with each other. We are not perfect. We miss the mark just like everyone else, maybe even more, especially when we plant that Christ flag in our court. We are sinners too. Jesus knew this. This is why he gave us this teaching. This is why he gave a teaching for his followers. He knew they would be in conflict. But imagine with me. Imagine what our world could look like today. What if our time and energy was spent on making relationships right rather than our energy in how we've been wronged? What if our time and energy were spent on listening for similarities rather than our differences? What if our time and energy were spent on seeking out joy, peace, happiness, and love? What if? Hear the good news, brothers and sisters. Jesus is there. Jesus is there despite ourselves, our actions, our inactions. Jesus is there. As he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Yes, even in conflict. And when we can put aside our differences, our selfish ambitions, and our necessity to be right or to win, we can hear the other. And more importantly, we can hear Christ. Conflicts are going to happen. However, I see these as being opportunities. Opportunities for the community to grow. Because when we go to the other side of conflict, there lies a new, deepened community. One that goes beyond the surface level niceties, the smiles, to one that is willing to roll up their sleeves and tackle the tough issues. Doing so through mutual love and respect, because relationships matter. Jesus shows up, especially in the most tense and deeply divided parts of our lives. Jesus shows up. He shows up creating space where true healing and growth can take place. Amen.